Bevor wir starten, willst du wissen, wie du selbst oder deine Mitarbeitende zu dem Businesspartner werden, den das Business wirklich braucht? Also zum Black Belt in Finance Business Partnering? Dann schau in die Shownotes. Und jetzt zum Podcast.
You create a strong value and you build a good rapport with those stakeholders in different functions. Once you are done that, after that, you have to communicate the impact in the form of a proper reporting structure. Reporting structure here means a very concise and summarized form of the results analysis to your stakeholders, saying that this, what we have found out, this has been bottleneck for several years, this has been a process deviation for several years, and now we need to focus on those areas in the future. And once we are done that, after that, we design an automation triggers in the process. So not only going from the process improvement point of view, but we go all the way till the automation improvements. Because that's why finance is more relevant and more reliable in the current business context. If we don't automate, it's very hard to sell these products to our stakeholders as well.
Willkommen bei Mendel Talks Finance, dem Podcast für die Finanzwelt, präsentiert von Viktor Mendel, der strategischen Managementberatung für Excellence in Finance.
Dear Mois, welcome to today's episode. It's really great to have you here, a great pleasure. Before we go on that topic, we have a quite interesting topic today. I would like to ask you to introduce yourself. Who are you? Where are you working? What are your tasks? And of course, I would like to hear for what are you really burning inside.
Thank you so much, Victor, for inviting me to this podcast. I'm really excited for the next 30 to 40 minutes of this podcast. Little bit of introduction from my side. My name is Moiz Khan. I'm a finance and audit professional and heavy focus on technology. Myself, I started working with Deloitte around 15 years ago. And from Deloitte, I moved to PwC. I'm having both Big Four consulting firms experience in the past. I was working mostly with the manufacturing clients as well as the investment banks and the stock exchange. After that, I moved to Abu Dhabi, where I started working with Al Fayyim Group. It was one of the conglomerates based in Abu Dhabi, a very giant conglomerate, and it was heavily dealing the German cars because it was one of the flagship companies of Mercedes-Benz and dealers in Abu Dhabi. They had the largest facility of Mercedes-Benz in Abu Dhabi and also a lot of real estate business, especially in the Palm Jumeirah area, very famous area of Dubai. While working in Abu Dhabi for 2 years, then I moved to one of the largest conglomerates in Dubai, which is Al Futaim Group. And this group is quite widely known in the GCC and the Gulf Cooperation Council because it has a very large footprint on automotive real estate sector. After working with Al Futaim, I moved to Hapag-Lloyd in 2019 and I started working in their corporate audit function. I worked there for 5 years in corporate audit and traveling a lot of different countries, exploring the Hapag-Lloyd as a company, and then now moved to Hamburg 1 year ago while working as a Director of Finance, Excellence and Governance. This is a little bit of a profile from my side and looking forward for this podcast.
Cool. So really impressive CV and a lot of experience in different areas. And now they're really in the nice city living in Hamburg. Very nice. So today we are talking about finance excellence in a practice. How are the end-to-end processes that you are working on? How can you trust specific data and how can you turn insights into better decision and even more in real actions. Let's just jump directly into the podcast. But before we start, of course, a short question and ask to everyone who is listening. If you like this podcast, give us 5 stars, hit a like, and that helps us, of course, to grow and to explore the knowledge. So, Mois, first question. If you would explain what are you doing in 2 minutes. What is finance excellence meaning in your context?
Thank you. It's a very nice question, Victor. For me, finance excellence is basically making finance run like a well-designed process, a reliable product that brings ease of doing financial work for business partners. It means the core finance processes actually flow properly, data can be trusted, and decisions are based on facts, not a guesswork. My role is usually to connect the dots between different processes, IT and technology, systems, data, and more importantly, people.
This is a quite range of tasks. I also, in the same opinion like you, that the expertise of finance is perfect for this task. So to connect the processes, to connect the people, to connect the decisions. But I think in reality, it's quite more complex, right?
Absolutely. Connecting all these end-to-end processes, like order to cash, procure to pay, record to report, and others, it starts with two things. Where the business will really benefit on efficiency, reliability, compliance, or what the data is saying to us, and what insights indicate us, delays, complaints, rework, financial impact. And once you map the process properly, you often see the real issue. It's not where people think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Where I start first is usually the area that gives you the biggest impact, quickly, either in quality or a value, something that's high volume, high pain, and realistically flexible, with minimum effort. Early wins matter, and they create momentum.
Okay, but this should you explain to me and to us. Why are you starting where you see the highest impact? Not where we have the quick wins or the easiest one. Why the biggest value?
Modern business is all about value, transformation, and technology. So if you don't communicate the value to your stakeholders, it's very hard to sell the products. When we talk about the financial products, the first question everybody asks nowadays, where is the value? Because stakeholder value creation is one of the most critical tasks in the finance excellence and governance world. When we talk about compliance, we not only necessarily talk about the value, but you talk about the compliance. When you talk about finance excellence, you really talk about creating the value that really ends up making your stakeholders more satisfied with your products. That's why I believe value creation is one of the most significant angles in the finance excellence role.
Okay, this is quite an interesting view. So finance is not just like a lot of organizations see finance as, let's say, in best case, a partner, a sparring partner or a business partner, something like this. In your point of view, when I understand you right, it's like a selling organization, selling added value, right? You need to be customer oriented.
Absolutely. For us, our customers are our internal stakeholders. If they are not satisfied, our finance products will not work out. And it's not a short-term story. This project, these platforms are built for a longer sustainability, for a longer period of time. So if you don't deliver the value to your stakeholders, it's very hard for you to convince them to start using these new technologies and transformation areas. So that's why it's not only about the value creation, it's all about marketing them in an appropriate way that people really buy the transformation from you. It's important for the company to get realistic when it comes to the value creation. Because sometimes if you just do something without the value creation, it will not help you in the future tasks in the projects, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think more finance organizations should see themselves as a selling organization, so selling value. And if they have the right value, or if it will accept it, they see when from the business there's a demand. So if the business is coming to finance and asking for these products, let's say, these products are the value, the support. And I think with the finance organization would have more this view as we have to sell ourselves. We have to sell our products, our value. They would do something that really is needed from the stakeholder and business and not just because finance think it's necessary.
Willst du wissen, wie du selbst oder deine Mitarbeitende zu dem Businesspartner werden, den das Business wirklich braucht? Also zum Black Belt in Finance Business Partnering? Dann schau in die Shownotes. Und jetzt zum Podcast.
Absolutely. You have put it in a very right context here. What I always believe is, with the evolving technology that we have right now, it's very important then finance not only becomes the business partner, but also very active collaborator with all the different functions in creating the value. Why is that? because all your data, which you process, operational, commercial, any kind of data, ultimately falls onto your financials. Mm-hmm. So that's finance has to very actively collaborate in creating the shareholder value or stakeholder value, because that's a necessity of time for the modern age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, time is always a topic. And I just had a meeting in the last 2 days with the customer, and they said, yeah, we would like to be a business partner, but we have no time. Of course, this is the limitation that all organization and all functions has, is time. And I think especially because it's this the limitation, we should focus on this, what is creating value. And it's simple, but of course, in the reality, it's not that simple.
Yes, absolutely. And you are very right here. The time is a constraint, always. For everyone, you have only 9 hours of a day where you have to work. In some geographies, you have even limited time period. So yeah. What do we do here? We have to always translate outcomes into leadership language. Mm-hmm. Not that we improved a process map, but things like cash improvement, your DSO, overdue reduction, fewer block invoices, faster closing of the books, less manual effort, few errors and remark, and stronger controls. And this is the right area that we have to focus on. And then they always say, once you have a will, you will find a time for this. So that's why if you have all these strong value cases behind your finance borders, then it really creates a value for the business. Yeah.
I say it differently a little bit, but in the same meaning, I say if your why is strong enough, the how will become easy. If it's, you know why to do it, what is the reason, then you will find the right time to do it. But I think it's the same understanding, no?
Yes, absolutely. And I would like to summarize this in one very small sentence. It's making finance simple, trusted, and scalable. So if we are able to do that, it really can make the business move more faster without losing the governance element.
Yeah, I mean, of course, governance is still there. This is also one of our, let's say, heads or roles to make sure that the governance is in place and nothing happens, no?
Absolutely.
Mois, if you are looking to some specific processes like order to cash, purchase to pay, and so on and so on, how do you identify really the point that really hurts and not maybe point that not interesting enough? So how can you make you sure that you come to the point?
Yes, so interesting question. First area that we always look at is what is a real process. First, we go and have a very detailed understanding. We do the walkthroughs and we do the process discovery with the relevant stakeholders or more of a domain experts. Because as a finance organization, you will not always be a domain expert. So you have to go first, go to domain experts, understand the process map or more like a sweet path from them. Mm-hmm. And then what we normally do is we use technology. We use different BI tools and process mining tools to find out the process variance. And once we are able to find out the process variance, we try to focus on those areas and do the real interviews again with those stakeholders. It's more of a meeting where we partner with them and understand why do we have all these bottlenecks in the process? Why do we have efficiency issue in this specific activity that we do? Or how it can be more reliable and more compliant with the existing business processes. And then you create a strong value and you build a good rapport with those stakeholders in different functions. Once you are done that, after that, you have to communicate the impact in form of a proper reporting structure. Reporting structure here means a very concise and summarized form of the results analysis to your stakeholders, saying that this, what we have found out, this has been bottleneck for several years. This has been a process deviation for several years. And now we need to focus on those areas in the future. And once we are done that, after that, we design an automation triggers in the process. So not only going from the process improvement point of view, but we go all the way till the automation improvements. Because that's why finance is more relevant and more reliable in the current business context. If we don't automate, it's very hard to sell these products to our stakeholders as well.
Okay. Automation is in a lot of cases the solution. This is what I understand. Let's go one step back. Maybe you said, okay, after the identification of the, let's say, weak point that you want to improve, you are working on a reporting to show the stakeholders what does it mean, how big is the waste, and how big is the gain if you work on it, right?
Absolutely. So this reporting is very essential, and this reporting has to be impactful, both in terms of value, quality, efficiency, and compliance. It should cover these four strategic angles for the company. Mm-hmm. And this is how it should fit with stakeholders and leadership's ideas as well. Once they understand how impactful this analysis or reporting or the impact is, then we get a good buy-in from the management mm-hmm. to start focusing on improvements. And then transformation journey starts after that.
And they are all committed, right?
Absolutely. It really helps them to commit to these values, because once we have delivered the value in terms of numbers, in terms of the quality, in terms of the efficiency and reliability, then it's very easy to take a buy-in. And that also tells you that people who are presenting this are in control of the process, not that they're coming up with a fancy chart or diagrams.
Okay, so that means to showing the potentials in improving specific processes, make sure that your stakeholder are buy in, so that they are on board, they are committed 100% and working with you and your team then and this improvements, right? So this is the main point, to get transparency and maybe to take a little bit more time to calculate the effects first before you just start doing and improving. But if your stakeholders are not committed, you cannot fight the war by yourself, right?
Absolutely. And this is where the real change management starts. The change management starts the moment you deliver the value and the impact mm-hmm. of it. And then identify that, yes, there is a process weakness and we have to do something about it. If we don't communicate the value and the impact in a proper terminology, in a proper reporting format, it becomes very difficult to convince your stakeholders, because they will be always asking, okay, does it help us in the company mm-hmm. achieving our strategic outcomes or some numbers or some targets? But when you do that with the proper assessment, proper analysis, and proper reporting structure, then it really helps you in driving your transformation forward.
Yeah, and I think you increase also as a finance organization your credibility and your acceptance if you show how big the effect is with your work in supporting the stakeholders. But another thing comes to my mind is, who is in the end, Moise, responsible for this improvement? Is it you and your team, or is the, let's say, accountable? No? So in a race logic, is it you or are the stakeholders?
Yes, so ultimate improvement should be done by the stakeholders, because the stakeholders are involved in their day-to-day business, also in different part of the organization. So when you look at the global impact, what we do from our company, we see the things from a larger scale. And the stakeholders, or what we call them, product owners, are involved in day-to-day business and dealing with customer, with the vendors, or dealing with the day-to-day reporting with the auditors. For us, it's very important to communicate the value and impact to them. However, they are the ones who, in the end, design the transformation plan, also drive the changes, drive the value enhancement. And that's why for our organization, for our function, it's very important to do business partnering and collaboration with those functions, because they are the ones who really drive the transformation. And what we do here is we provide them the platforms, we facilitate them, and we also make sure that we deliver the global value, consolidating centrally how it impacts our global business strategically.
Okay, but I mean, this is for sure, and fully agree with you, Moise, this is for sure, again, a good change management. No? So make them responsible, then they will make sure that it works. Otherwise, you are doing something as an external, not involved in the business, and the acceptance is maybe okay, but in a lot of cases, it's not okay.
Absolutely. It's a very good point you mentioned. This is why I always believe in this strong collaboration and partnership.
Yeah.
With our product owners, with stakeholders. And why it is important, it's not only about driving the change that you come in with your ideas and you start driving mm-hmm. the change from your own brain. It doesn't work out like that. It has to be a collaborative effort, we have to be more on a scale where we understand, we listen to them, we listen to their need. And that's why if you always adopt in many, many important business cases, a bottom-up approach. Mm-hmm. This bottom-up approach really helps us to understand where the pain points are and where we can drive the value. So when you sometimes use that bottom-up approach, it really helps you because you know at ground what is happening. And that's why sometimes we adopt this approach. And in recent projects, we have noticed it has really worked out well. Because we see things from the ground, we have our eyes and ears there, and then we see the impact at a global level. And we say, yeah, it creates an impact. Let's focus on it. This is how we really helps us in driving the transformation and creating the value because we know what is happening on the ground.
Yeah. I mean, you are saying an interesting point. Huh? So seeing the effect on a global level, this sounds nice, of course. But if we look deeper, we know that globally involved people and teams are not always easy to handle. What are, from your point of view, the biggest obstacles to make this improvements, let's say, globally, and making sure that globally and locally are aligned?
Very important point. Very, very important point for us as a finance organization. Because you know that globally, we think of a standard where we are based. However, the standards changes after 300 kilometers. Mm-hmm. So if you go to different regions, areas, countries, you have a different legal requirement, different cultural understanding, different languages. And it's very, very hard sometimes to come to a common understanding and ground. However, here we work with our partners, our different stakeholders and different functions, understand what localized requirements these users have in those areas. And the change management is not easy in those cases because people have their different understanding, even of the finance organization, different in different parts of the world. So what we do here, first is, we first go and rebuild a rapport with them. We try to understand what are their point of view always. Mm-hmm. And it's not always about challenging them, but to understand and listen to them, what are the biggest drawbacks or the biggest struggles they have in their function. Once we understand them, we have a better clarity over the processes and systems. After doing this, we do a very rapport building exercise with those stakeholders. We will not only come from an angle of saying, okay, we have this, you should use this. Rather, what we do is we try to give them the best-in-class products, the best-in-class systems, which can not only standardize the processes, but also help them in achieving their own localized objectives. This is a very hard decision sometimes. However, when you do it right, when you do it consistently, with a proper referral, with a proper understanding of the localized business, it really helps us. And this is why your partners in other functions, like process excellence functions, with the product owners, with the IT, with the commercial function, with the operations functions, your joint effort really helps us in doing this. If you do it alone, gonna be really challenging, as you mentioned. But if you do it with the proper, solid, functional partnership with different organizations, it really creates an impact. Because all of us, in the end, are trying to achieve the same strategic objective which our global leadership have designed.
Yeah. Challenging is nice said. I think it could also fail completely if you not involve them and ask their perspective, their point of view, and not trying to understand them and their pain points instead of coming just from the headquarters and saying, look, this is the global new process. Here's the description and the guidance to it.
Not going to work.
Never, no?
Never. It's not going to work. So you need a very strong partnership, collaboration, understanding them. So you have to always understand your counterparts and have a proper rapport with them and focus on them. Try to understand them and treat them as your partner. And instead of, you know, communicating on your own something, try to understand what they need, how they need upscaling on some process, how they need what standardization they need, what kind of local exceptions they want to maintain all this in their businesses, what kind of strategic objectives they have. So these are the important topics that we have to always.
Absolutely. What else, Mois, should we do that the initiatives we have, they didn't break down? So what kind of responsibilities, roles do we need to make sure that at some point of the process is not just breaking down?
So you need to design the guardrails and a proper governance system. I am a big fan of using technology here. You have to govern the organization through a proper KPIs and proper governance and controls. So it's not only about that you communicate the governance, controls, and the KPIs from the head office, but it has to be a joint effort between two different functions. So it takes time. One approach is that you go directly and then pushing the KPIs and the governance guardrails to your organization in the localized areas, it doesn't work out. So why I'm really saying this, because you know I've been working with Middle Eastern companies in the past. Yeah. And there, the system works differently. Here, the head office communicates KPIs, governance matters. And then in those organizations, it's very hard that localized offices, somebody sitting 6,000 kilometers away will follow the guidelines. However, we are very happy that we work in HAPAG, which has proper structured processes and systems. We work more on a collaboration and partnership with our stakeholders in the localized regions and understanding. And it really helps us driving the transformation agenda together with them instead of we drive the transformation from the head office always.
Yeah, besides the people and roles and responsibilities, there is another big challenge. And we already spoke about it. So data is also one of the biggest problems, but also the biggest leverage maybe to drive the transformation. So where do you see there the difficulty?
That's a very nice question. And I think after the introduction of AI and modern technologies, this question has become more and more relevant for finance people, especially. Working with enormous data is an essential skill in real day-to-day job nowadays, especially for people in finance, audit, compliance. With modern tools and technology, we have huge availability of data, but interpretation and working with this data is difficult because people assume data is just sitting there ready to use. But in most companies, definitions are sometimes inconsistent. Master data isn't clean. There are workarounds and there are multiple versions of truth. So the real issue is trust. When people don't trust the data, every meeting turns into a debate about numbers instead of decisions. So I focus a lot on building trust in data through standard definitions, quality rules, reconciliation logic, and clear ownership. And this is why it's an approach that we adopt recently.
We see that to be really a business partner, a finance business partner, is not that easy. So there are really a lot of different topics that we have to work on it. But if we can bring it to the point and let's say in a nutshell, everything what we do in finance should bring added value to our stakeholders, to the company. And it could be, of course, governance. Governance also makes sure that nothing bad happens. But in the end, we have to sell us, we have to sell our products. And yeah, I think the best thing is if we one day get some requests from stakeholders, from the business, and this is the payment we get.
Yes, absolutely. And Victor, here I would like to add a very important context in the finance world. Over the past 10 years, you also might have realized that many of the most valuable startups are always finance and technology brands. Always. And why is that? Because finance and technology is not something different nowadays. There is no difference. So my role right now is 50% finance, 50% IT and technology and data. And why it is very important? And finance has always been that. So if you see 15 years ago, finance has been not only the partner in the finance, but you see spreadsheets a lot than on statistics. So a good finance person was always a good statistician, we always say. A good economist will always be a statistician. But there's never been a difference between these two. In modern days, finance person has to know, I would say, has to know about the data structures, where your data come from, and how the data has end-to-end strings linked to it. Otherwise, it becomes very difficult because you will always have blind spots in your financial numbers. So to remove that blind spot, to be very, very good in technology and IT nowadays, to make sure that you're not missing out something from the finance. And this is what really helps you in becoming a better business partner for your organization.
You bring it exactly to the point. The skill set of finance, of controlling or finance business partnering is quite large. And it's from communication starting, from involving people, so quite soft skills, until data and systems. So the range is quite impressive, right?
Yes, absolutely. Nowadays, after the AI has came up, after this, you need to have a very, very good understanding of technology, IT, and data. If you are planning a career for young boys or young girls in finance, so I think this is essential skill that will be required in the next 5 to 10 years.
Definitely, definitely. Mois, we could speak for hours about this topic. I love this topic, but the time is running. And I would say thank you so much for your insight. It was really valuable. If you speak about value, this was also valuable for me and I think also to the listeners. Thanks a lot. And let's see, maybe we'll make a second part about it.
Perfect. So thank you so much for inviting me and really looking forward for this interesting topics of finance, technology and data.
Und das war Mendel Talks Finance. Vielen Dank, dass Sie uns begleitet haben. In jeder Episode bieten wir Ihnen tiefe Einblicke in die Strategien, Visionen und Innovationen, die die Finanzwelt von morgen prägen. Wir hoffen, Sie haben wertvolle Erkenntnisse dabei gewonnen. Wenn Sie Mendel Talks Finance abonnieren, bleiben Sie immer auf dem Laufenden. Wir sprechen mit hochkarätigen Gästen, die die Zukunft der Finanzwelt mitgestalten. Weitere Informationen finden Sie unter viktormendel.de. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und bis zu unserer nächsten Folge von Mendel Talks Finance.